For those of you who may be joining the broadcast for the first time, the Bible Says is a program that is dedicated to the clear and simple exposition of the Word of God, and I suppose you would have to say it is emphasizing the literalness of the Word of God without trying to run it through somebody's interpretational filter or denominational scheme of interpretation. We want you to know what the Bible says. Now, what you do with it is between you and God. We still have that freedom in this country. You're a free moral agent. You have to decide. But we want you to be clear on what the Bible says, hence the name of the program, The Bible Says, as opposed to, well, this is the Baptist hour or the Methodist hour or, no. What's the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Yesterday, we were in chapter 4, and we were in verse 4. Actually, I'd read on into verse 5, but I want to go back to verse 4 for a moment. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I would like to make this comment, and then we'll move on. Back several years ago, it was a popular thing on bumper stickers because of a television program and its popularity. The little quip, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. No, it was clever. It was, you know, everybody laughed about it. Because on the bumper stickers, it was some little impish fella, kind of like popping fresh. Pudgy little fella, usually red. Horns, tail, pitchfork, you know. Cute little fella, actually, ornery looking. The devil made me do it. Now, you need to understand something. If you're a Christian, the devil cannot make you do anything. Now, that's good, and that's bad. You say, well, I can see what's good about it, but what's bad about it? Well, there's nothing bad about the statement, but it sure makes Christians look pretty nasty. So what do you mean? For a Christian to sin is no longer within the realm of I had to. You see, before an individual gives their heart to Jesus Christ, before they have been cleansed from their sin, before they have been born again, they sin because they don't have any choice. My friend, if you're listening to me today, you don't have a choice in what you do. You say, oh, yes, I do. I can do. No, anything you do will be tainted by sin. You don't have a choice. You can't. Well, I can't. No, you are limited in your perceptions of what you can do. And even though you may do something that is good, even beneficial, you got to consider in the light of the Word of God what God thinks about it. Now, when we come to this statement here, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Christian overcomes sin. The Christian overcomes temptation. The Christian overcomes the world, not because of his convictions, not because he is so pure and so upstanding. He is able to overcome these things because of the abiding presence and power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's almost axiomatic that, you know, the bigger the guy, the more control he has in the situation. The guy with the gun wins over the guy with a knife. The guy with the biggest club is the guy who wins the argument. That's basically what it comes down to. I think it was Mao, the Chinese communist, who said, the law comes out of the muzzle of a gun. Right comes out the muzzle of a gun. Yeah. The guy with the gun makes the law. That's simple. Here, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The ugly truth is that when a Christian sins, he does so because he chooses to. And I don't care how you stack that up, that's just ugly. There's no way of justifying it. There's no way of whitewashing it, sugarcoating it. That's inexcusable. Most Christians don't look at it like that. Well, I don't know. You know, I just, at that point in time, I don't know what came over me. I don't know what I was thinking of. I do. You are not fixed on Jesus Christ. You're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. When a Christian takes his eyes off Christ, he loses his direction. When he loses his direction, he turns inward, not to call on the aid, not to call on the strength of the Holy Spirit, but he turns within himself, and self begins to plot the course. Self begins to make the decisions of what I should do, what I shouldn't do. Is this right? Is this wrong? I don't see anything wrong with it. Let's go ahead with it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My friend, as long as you are depending upon the presence and power and leading of the Holy Spirit, you're unstoppable. But the instant you put your hand on the controls, the instant you rest the direction away from him, you become a statistic. You're a casualty. You just haven't felt the bullet yet. But you're in trouble. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God is bigger than the devil. The Holy Spirit that indwells you is more powerful than Satan. Now, any red-blooded, fire-breathing Satanist will deny that. But my friend, is what the Bible says. And all things being equal, it's what everything supports. You say, no, wait a minute. I mean, if God is stronger than the devil, how come there's so much evil in the world? Yeah. Doesn't it strike you as odd that in a world where everybody's supposed to have that spark of divinity, if you listen to popular preaching, if you listen to the liberal theologian and man is basically good, if you listen to the religion, and it is a religion, of humanism. Incidentally, isn't it strange? The liberals want to cut any reference to God out of the schools, wants to prohibit any mention of Jesus Christ on the grounds of separation of church and state, and says you can't give any place to religion. And while they're saying that out of one side of their face, they're turning around and pouring all their effort into the advancement of humanism. My friend, by any stretch of the imagination, by any definition you choose to look at, humanism is not just a philosophy. It has become a religion. And our public school systems have aggressively, are you ready, evangelistically pursued its promotion. Why is there so much wrong? Why is there so much killing, so much violence? Doesn't it strike you as odd that if everybody is basically good, that there should be anything like that? We say, oh, well, he's a victim of society. Talk about circular reasoning. Talk about the blind leading the blind. Question, who makes up a society? Is it not made up of all these people who are supposed to be basically good? How can a society be bad if everybody in it is basically good? How can a society made up of basically good people, inherently good people, do anything to influence anybody else but to be good? It won't stand a hard look. It won't stand up to logical reasoning. It's a leap of faith, a leap into the dark, and there's nothing but rocks below, my friend. There's no safety net on that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Who is? Well, I've been talking about the false prophets. I've been talking about the spirits that are not of God. They are of the world. That's where they're coming from. That is the point of origin. That aggregate, that collection, that sum total of things, of philosophies, of goods, values, riches, pleasures, which stir desire and seduce away from God and hinder the cause of Christ. That's where they're from. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. You listen to some of these false religionists. What they say in terms of, for instance, you hear what is euphemistically referred to sometimes as the doctrine of prosperity. I have a question. Who does that appeal to, the doctrine of prosperity? God doesn't want you poor. He wants to bless you. He wants to make you rich. Implication, the other side of the coin, if you're not rich, if you're not comfortably well off, then you're not blessed. Something wrong with you. The people who are wealthy are the blessed ones. Excuse me, can you find that in the Bible anywhere? Well, no. But as a matter of fact, it does seem to have an appeal, doesn't it? The idea, wouldn't you like to be rich? Sure. Question. That desire, that longing to be comfortably well off, does that come from God or does that come from self? Does that come from the Holy Spirit or does that come from the old nature? I think you can answer that without straining anything. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. The philosophy, the underlying appeal, is going to be to the flesh, that is, to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Religion does that. Look what I've done. This looks good. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, the writer of Proverbs says. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They speak of the world. What they say comes from the world. And the world responds in kind because it makes sense to them. Oh, yeah, I can see that. On the other hand, the gospel makes no sense. Not to an unsaved person. A man who is not being dealt with by the Holy Spirit cannot make heads or tails of the gospel. Consider, why on earth would Jesus die if indeed he was the only begotten Son of God, and if, in fact, he was totally sinless, why on earth would he die to forgive and cleanse hell-deserving sinners? Why would he do that? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Why would a man's death 2,000 years ago on a cross have anything to do with me today? It doesn't make any sense. Paul clarified that over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man, the unconverted, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Well, let's face it, a man born dead spiritually, a man dead in trespassing and sin, he's not going to respond to the Word of God, the values of the Word of God. I think sometimes it's pitiful. You got Christian people, church people, saying we're going to boycott this company or that company, or we're going to write in to the producers of the show and get that taken off and blah, 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 blah. Listen, grow up. Christians are in a minority. Bible-believing Christians are in a minute minority. And whether you've noticed it or not, we're living in a democracy, and theoretically, the majority rules. Yeah, they speak of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them, but not the book. That's it for today. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for the next edition of The Bible Says.